If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
So here's the two ways that this is helpful for you as an artist. First, if you want a gig and you're following up with a booker, it's on you to remember to follow up with the booker. And most musicians don't have a good system for remembering to follow up with the booker. It's basically like I'm going to remember that on Thursday and it's Monday and there's no way you're going to. So you forget until Saturday and then they're out on Saturday. So now what do you do? That's what happens. So snoozing is your superpower, because if you snooze that email to Thursday at 8 a.m., then Thursday at 8 a.m., it's going to reappear at the very top of your inbox. And all you got to do is hit reply and say, hey, just wanted to circle back with you on this. And this is your superpower way to remember to follow up with some of these business opportunities. Mm. Like, man, so powerful.
It's easy to get lost in today's music industry with constantly changing technology and where anyone with a computer can release their own music. But I'm going to share with you why this is the best time to be an independent musician, and it's only getting better. If you have high quality music, but you just don't know the best way to promote yourself so that you can reach the right people and generate a sustainable income with your music, we're going to show you the best strategies that we're using right now to reach millions of new listeners every month without spending 10 hours a day on social media. We're creating a revolution in today's music industry, and this is your invitation to join me. I'm your host, Michael Walker. All right, excited to be here today with my new friend, Brian. So Brian Nelson Palmer is the founder of Productivity Gladiator. And you know, having been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at a young age, he committed his time to be able to lead a productivity system to be able to enhance, you know, your practical productivity in your life and to be able to make a greater impact. And he's taken that to stages around the world. He's been able to speak at TEDx, and he's created a program called Productivity Gladiator that's about helping to maximize your limited time. We all have the same amount of time in the day, but what we do with that time is really where we get leverage from it. So this is one of my favorite topics to go into. I think it's extremely important. And I know you're a musician yourself as well, Brian. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Absolutely. Michael, it's a treat to be here, man. And it's a treat to get to talk with some fellow musicians, because I spend most of my days teaching corporate types, and businesses and organizations bring me in to teach their people, like you said, the personal, practical productivity skills. But by night, I mean, I was the drummer in a rock band for 5 years and I absolutely freaking love it. Like, it is it's so much fun. So the intersection between personal, practical productivity skills and also music for me is like, that's a personal thing. So it's so much fun to do this.
That's awesome. And I feel like it's such an important conversation that we're probably about to have, just because for a lot of musicians or artists, maybe there's a mindset block around thinking, I don't want to structure my days, or I don't want to focus too much on the productivity stuff or the business side of things, because that somehow gets in the way of like being creative. And I'm sure today, what we're going to share is going to be exactly the opposite. It's going to be a way to create more freedom and be able to be more creative. So To start with, yeah, I'd love to hear just a little bit about your story and how you started Proactivity Gladiator.
Absolutely. You alluded to it in the very beginning that for me, it started when I was 4 years old. I was diagnosed with type 1 insulin dependent diabetes. So I'll never forget. I have a very vivid memory of sitting in Dr. Kinsella's bland 1980s stuffy office and holding my mom's hand and learning that while diabetics can live a full and mostly normal life, the life expectancy for diabetics is 10 to 20 years less than everyone else. So now things aren't as dire as they were when I was 4 years old. Things have come a long way for treatment for these kinds of things. But from that very young age, I always had this sort of attitude or idea that I'm not going to get the really long retirement where you know, wait till later and then do all these things. For me, it's about maximizing and living the life that you can today and enjoying the now, as opposed to waiting for it later. And so for me, that's kind of where it started. And ever since then, I have been on a quest to live it up and have like the best possible life while still working and still being a normal adult in today's society. And so not putting off to tomorrow what we can, the joy and the fun and the life that you can have today. So for me, it started with this quest to be, have a good life balance. And then when I became a working professional and adult and I started in my careers, it was also about, well, I want to be a top performer and I want to make more money and I want to do all those, be the successful at work. But at the same time, through my lens, I'm not going to get a retirement. So I have to do them like both. So how do you do them both? What does balance look like? How do you win in both realms? And so that's where that was the foundation in the beginning of the Productivity Gladiator sort of thinking. And the Productivity Gladiator system that you see now started in about 2014. So about 10 years ago, and it was an opportunity where I was doing a lot at the time. So this is where we tie in the music part of my background, right? So at the time when I started Productivity Gladiator, I was the drummer in a rock band, Fellowcraft. You can check us out on Spotify and stuff. We have several albums out. That was a boatload of fun. I was in the Washington, D.C. area. So actually, this is where I've crossed paths with some of the people that you guys know in the modern musician community, was through the Washington, D.C. local music scene. Mm. But then at the same time, I also was the syndicated podcast and radio show host. So I used to have The Drive at 5 on Tuesdays. I did a local music radio show that was all about D.C.'s local music scene. And it was about highlighting the great music and artists that are in the DC area that nobody knows about, right? Like you guys can certainly relate. You've got this great music, you got this great product, and people aren't listening. And so how do we do that? So I had a radio show. The radio show turned into a annual music festival at the 930 Club and some of the big venues there. And then from that success, I ended up getting looped in and founding the Whammies, which is the Washington, D.C. area Grammys. So myself and the head of one of the nonprofits that teaches music education in D.C., I really wanted to do awards. And so it led to, because of DC Music Rocks and being the drummer at a band, it allowed me to do that too. And so if you check out whammiesdc.org, you'll see the show that it is today. It's turned into quite a thing. So if you've ever wondered what the best pop song or who the best rock artist is in the Washington, DC, if you're coming through on tour, public service announcement, that's a great way to find some artists is go to the Whammies website and look at who won. And that might be good people to talk to about maybe, you know, partnering with them on a show or something. But so that was the music side of things. And through all of that, so I was doing all of that at the same time that I'm also a group fitness instructor and I have a day job. And so I'm trying to live it up in every part of my life. And my friends would ask, you know, well, how do you do it all? How do you remember it all? How do you not drop the ball on this stuff? How do you still travel? Like I was taking, you know, here's my 2-week trip to Europe and my fun photos and that kind of stuff. And so my challenge to myself was, well, can I teach it to people? I wonder if I could teach, you know, is it a system? Could I teach this system? And so in 2014, that was the beginnings of creating the system that it is now. And so Productivity Gladiator now is teaching people that system. What does life balance look like? It's very specific skills and tools, right? I feel like you go to time management seminars and their bottom line is, well, you should just manage your time better. And it's like, well, it doesn't help me much. Like, how are you supposed to do that? And so I did have the opportunity to do a TED Talk or a TEDx talk, should I say, but I was really honored because I did a TEDx talk on the value of your time. And so if you want to check that out, you can go to TED.com and look me up. But the thing that was really cool for me about that experience was I did that because I wanted to pay the message forward to the world. This was a really cool concept that I taught in Productivity Gladiator training that a lot of people really struck them when they learned it. And so I thought, well, gosh, can I do a TED talk on that so that I can pay this idea forward to the world? And so I did. And when TED received the talk, they get approximately 500-ish talks a day. Like, there's a lot of TEDx talks that happen every single day at events all over the world. So just doing a TEDx talk doesn't necessarily mean anything. You guys know, unless people look at it, they watch it, it means something to them, that kind of stuff. They connect with it. And so for me, I was really fortunate in that the team at TED really connected with it. And so they picked it as an editor's pick and they put it on their playlist as one of the top recommended talks. And so it was that whole, you know, tens of thousands of views in just a matter of a few days and lots of likes and comments. And it was a very cool thing to see. And for me, it was validating because, you know, this is my idea. This is my system. I teach people how to do this better. And now the team at TED agreed that this is a good idea and they gave it the nod. So a lot of times you go through life and you're like, well, I think this is good. I have confidence in what I'm doing. And every once in a while, you have that moment where somebody's like, actually, yes, that is a very good idea. And here I want to share it. And so that was one of those validating moments for me. So that's a little bit of the background on where it came from. And now Productivity Gladiator is about ultimately businesses and organizations bring me in to teach personal, practical productivity skills. My target market is normally aspiring leaders and early career project managers. How do you get the basis? Like email inbox to zero. How do you do that? Or to-do list hacking. How do you not get distracted by all the stuff that's coming at you all the time? How do you focus on what do I need to be doing now? And what do I need to be doing next? And you walk into a meeting and you walk out with 50 things that you need to do or keep track of. What's your system for keeping track of it, for getting it all done, for not missing a deadline, for all of that stuff? And so those are the very practical skills that I bring and that I teach. And it's been really just such a rewarding thing. So to get to talk to you guys about it now, because, you know, I got Productivity Gladiator associated with my name, but at the same time, I also have a whole rock star side that's a lot of fun to like be playing shows for all these people in these big venues and stuff. So it's a treat to get to do this. So thanks for having me.
Man, that is amazing. That is an incredible, incredible story. And, you know, I really think that the topic that you're focused on with, you know, how do you better leverage your time is sort of like the key question in general for all of us is like, you know, how do we leverage the time that we have to, you know, to increase our output? So I just think it's such a valuable, you know, in like a meta kind of way, it's a valuable use of your time as long as, you know, as long as you actually are improving your focus. So I'm curious to hear this TED talk that you did that really resonated around, you know, valuing your time. You don't necessarily have to do the whole TED talk here. People can go watch it, but I'm just kind of curious what the big takeaway or the big idea was, because it sounds like it was something that was really important and probably would benefit a lot of people who are here.
So I've got a treat for you right now, you listening or watching or whatever, is if you go to productivitygladiator.com right now, you can pull up on the website. There is a time value calculator. It's on the main page. You scroll down, just one little scroll. It's right near the top. It's the time value calculators. And it says, calculate the value of your time. Click the button and it will do the math that you do in the TED talk. So in the TED talk, it's the short version. What's really cool about the TED talk is it's a lot of really relatable stories. Like, here's one. My dad used to drive all the way to the neighboring town to get gas because it was cheaper. So I remember as a kid growing up, every Saturday, my dad would call out, I'll be back. I'm headed to get gas. Mm-hmm. And on the shortest day, that trip took at least 45 minutes. And he went because the gas was 10 cents cheaper. Mm. And so growing up, my impression was, well, no matter how far away that cheaper gas is, you better go get it. So I remember, oh my God, I went to Florida State. If you've ever been to Tallahassee or been through Tallahassee with your touring, I went to Florida State, which is on the line with Georgia. It's about 30 minutes to the Georgia border. And Georgia had 15 cent cheaper gas. And so to make my dad proud as a upstanding college kid, I used to drive all the way to Georgia to get my gas. Now, looking back now and having this frame of reference that my time has value, saving $1.50 to drive 30 plus minutes each way to save that $1.50 was not worth my time. I should have just paid the Florida prices and gone to the place right around the corner. So the way that I would choose to spend my time now is I have, because you have this calculator, I have a number for the value of my time. The number I use right now is $30 an hour. That's my personal, that's the number that kind of feels good for me on what I can. So I make decisions based on that number. So what that means in very practical terms is if it's $30 an hour, my time is worth, and I'm going to drive all the way an hour back there and back to save $1.50. Well, 30 minutes or $30 for an hour compared to $1.50 saved is not worth my time. So that's, it kind of helps you to make those decisions. And the story that's on the flip side of that is one that is worth my, or the flip side of that, that was going one direction. Now the time when it is worth your time is an example, like I got a quote for having my house cleaned and my laundry done by a service. They'd come to the house, they'd spend 3 hours, they brought a team of two people and they would clean the whole house and they would wash my, they'd do my laundry at the same time. So when you add up the amount of hours that I would spend to clean my whole house and do the laundry versus the cost for them at the time, we can use example numbers, but I believe they came in at about $90 for that. So for me, laundry and cleaning, 5-6 hours probably on a weekend day, realistically, the thorough kind of cleaning, right? We're talking scrubbing the toilet, the whole thing, not the run over it with a rag real quick. And so then we're talking like, all right, so now that's 5 hours of my time at $30 an hour. That's $150 of value per se versus the $90 that I'll pay them. Well, it seems like that might be worth it. And then in exchange for that, just like you alluded to, Michael, it's a concept of, well, what do I spend that time on? What's worth my time? And I'm not going to tell you that, like, it's not that simple. Life isn't just numbers and a math problem. So obviously there's a lot of things that are worth your time that are not going to go with the math problem. So there's a lot more to the talk, and I definitely hope that you'll check it out, because it's things that, like working on your art or working on your music or spending time with your family or your kids or that kind of stuff. Man, how cool is that? And so
you don't get paid for that? What?
Right? God. Spoiler alert, man, you have to spend your time on that. But it's funny because you say spend your time. How do you spend your time? Well, now you have a number as to what, and it's just a rough frame of reference, right? But by having that number, even little examples, right? Here's a funny little example. I used to live in DC and they had express lanes on the highway. And so you could go into work, there'd be traffic on the main road and you could pay the whatever the fluctuating toll amount was. It was like $1, $3, $5. And you could get in the express lane and bypass all the traffic. So you go on Google Maps and I find out that it's a 10-minute backup for traffic and the toll was $2. Well, if you have a number as a frame of reference, some people just look at the number and they're like, well, that seems steep or that seems cheap or whatever. What's your number? And so for me, at $30 an hour, that works out to what, like $2, I think it's $2.50 for 5 minutes or something like that. That's the rough. So just using those example numbers, if it's going to save me 10 minutes, that 10 minutes is worth $5 to me. So if the toll is $2 and I've got something important that I need to get to, or it's time with friends, or it's something that means a lot to me, I'll spend the $2 and I'll get there. And so it's like the stuff like that. So it's not always big stuff like hiring a cleaner. It's just sort of a reference number that really helps you look at how you spend your time. And it's a pretty cool thing.
Super smart. Yeah, I mean, there's a few places. I've struggled with this before, and I think a lot of us struggle with this idea sometimes, where it's like we know theoretically that like we shouldn't be doing this ourselves because, you know, it's not the best use of our time. And sometimes it takes getting over a certain amount of resistance to do it. For me, a couple of those things are my time of like going and getting a haircut versus having someone come.
I didn't even think he's talking to a bald guy right now, so I very much feel this
pain.
Man,
that's it. No, I could save my time even more if I just shave it off. There you go.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the difference of me like going driving somewhere and it takes, you know, maybe an hour or two to go do that versus like paying, you know, $60 for someone to come to our house on Thumbtack and like cut my hair. That's a good investment because it's a good trade of time for it. And, you know, there's so many examples like that. So I love that as like a practical tool. And the fact that you literally created a calculator around it where you could like calculate your time.
The TED Talk is like the shallow end. Then you have the calculator, which is like, no, we're talking like the 5-foot end of the pool or whatever. And then I do a workshop on this whole thing. And now that's the deep end. Then we dive all the way to the bottom and we look at all, I've got all these time hacks for all the ways that you could buy your time back or things that you could avoid that you never thought about that are you're spending your time on that you could spend another way. And so like that conversation can just go, I mean, I can see the wheels turning in your head, Michael. There's so many places that can go, and it's like a rabbit hole. And it's a beautiful rabbit hole because, man, the more time that you create, if you use it in a way that's rewarding or good for you, if you free up all that time spent doing haircuts so that you could actually do more music, which might make you more money in the long run, which might whatever, like worth the investment. And so this, honestly, the number is just a way to give you permission to say yes to some of these things.
Mm. Yeah, super smart. I mean, I think the one thing that comes to mind in terms of just how it relates to a lot of us as musicians is, especially nowadays, it's so easy to record ourselves and mix ourselves and master ourselves and do everything ourselves. You know, so in some cases, it might be kind of like what we talked about, spending your time with your kids or your family. It's like, okay, you love doing it, so that's okay. Like, you know, you can do it. But I think for a lot of people, there are at least components or parts of what they do where they don't like it. They're like, I'm not good at this. I don't like it. Like, I really wish that I didn't have to do this thing. It definitely seems like there's huge opportunity there if they, you know, take into, you know, account a strategy like what you're suggesting of actually looking at their time and figuring out, what's the threshold at which they're like, okay, I'm just not going to spend my time doing this because I can hire someone to do this part instead.
Yeah. Can I, let me tell you one funny like story that's really helpful too. It's permission to spend your time better. And here's a perfect example. I was in a workshop at an organization and the guy's name was Joe. And Joe was in his mind, the problem, I said, well, you could, you know, hire a cleaner to clean the house and then maybe you could go on a date with your wife. And Joe said, well, that's a double negative because then I'm paying for the cleaner, and not double negative in that he wanted to spend time with his wife.
Like, that's not half my wife.
It's so funny. I said that and Michael was like, oh yeah, spending time with wife. Yeah, that's terrible.
It's a double negative.
Yeah, but no, it's a double negative in that he has to pay twice. He's got to pay for the cleaner and then he's got to pay for the date. And I said, well, Joe, how would your relationship be a little different if you make it a free date? So you and your wife go take a picnic somewhere and you do a date that doesn't cost anything. Cause those exist, by the way. If you're not already doing this, it's possible to do dates that are just quality time. There are free places to go. There are parks you've never been to. There are all kinds of things you can do that don't cost anything. And so if you had a 3-hour date with your wife and in the same time you got the house cleaned together, isn't that more of a double positive and a little less of the double negative? Like, is it that kind of thing? And so it's how you're spending your time. Like, can you spend it over here, spend the money part over here so that you can get the time back over here to do something that's way more important and fulfilling? And so I'd like to think that I've saved a couple of marriages through teaching this, just because people are, oh yeah, you know, okay, do a free date and get the house cleaned or something, or, you know, whatever it is that's taking your time.
That's awesome.
Michael, let me just – one thing that I do – I wanted to share. I didn't – Michael and I didn't prepare this ahead of time, but as I was thinking about – so I'm a productivity hacker, right? For me, I'm like way into the deep end and way down at the bottom of the ocean on all of these little nerdy things. But at the same time, it's about making it better or easier or more efficient to do things better and have better life balance. That's my ultimate goal, is free up the time so that I can do more of the stuff that matters. Remember, because for me, I have less years in my head. So I just want to spend it better now. And so thinking about that, I have five hacks that I want to share that are specific from my time in the music scene that are like productivity hacks and do it better hacks for musicians. At some point, I want to share those with you too, because I was just thinking about it going, man, if I could pay it forward to all my musician friends in the DC area, these are the five things, like, man, please do this. Like, so awesome. I want to share those at some point.
I don't know. I don't know if that doesn't sound very valuable or enticing or intriguing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We want the five hacks.
You
sure.
want the hacks?
We want the hacks. Yeah.
They've spoken. All right. Cool. Well, then here, let me share these, because I had a lot of fun just thinking about this and thinking back to all of that fun time doing that. So here they are. Number one, use recommended, if you like, references. So like, hey, you'd like my music. It's recommended if you like Jason Derulo, Taylor Swift, something like that. Mm. Use recommended if you like references.
Yeah.
And here's my example or my metaphor for that. Mm. Do you get spam calls on your phone? And do you answer them? Because I don't. If it's a number I don't recognize, and I know for musicians, part answering the phone is partly business, right? So there might be money on that phone. Some people do answer the numbers they don't recognize, but a lot of times we kind of monitor our calls. And that's what people do when they're considering new music. So let's say if the phone rings and it's a number you don't know, you're probably not going to answer it. But if the phone rings and, oh, it's a friend of Taylor Swift's, and I like Taylor Swift, then maybe that's – maybe the odds of them answering the phone are better than the 99% chance they're not going to answer the phone before. And I say the same thing about your music. When I had – with the Whammies and the radio show, I had a database of artists that I had – there were 75 rock bands in my database, local rock bands in the DC area. If you ask Joe Schmo on the street in DC to name DC rock bands, he likely didn't know any. And maybe if you're lucky, he might know one, right? And so in my quest to promote local music, I wanted to show Joe all 70 of these rock bands. And here's what I found out about Joe Schmo. Mm-hmm. Joe doesn't want 60 plus rock bands that he needs to check out. He's not interested. But if Joe happens to be an AC/DC fan and there happens to be a band that's recommended if you like AC/DC, that's the one that Joe wants to check out. And so when I had the radio show and I had the database, I always asked artists to give me three recommended if you like references. And here's what the artists always reacted. They always said, well, I'm unique. I'm not like anyone else. And I hear you on that. And by being like or recommended if you like, I didn't say you were. I didn't say you were a copy. I said you're recommended if they like Taylor Swift or if they like whatever the big name artist is that Joe's going to know. That's your thing. So lean into the recommended if you like example. And I got one more little funny story about this. And this is something that I use in my business regularly, is that for the longest time, when you take Productivity Gladiator training, you learn a lot of things, right? Like when I represented myself, I wanted people to think, oh, well, it's this and this and this and this. And the best metaphor I got is, man, you know, the pizza spot, what's the best pizza spot in town? Like, you probably know where the best pizza is. And chances are they probably have pizza in the name of their place, right? And we also know that they also offer salads and sandwiches and all kinds of other things on their menu, but they're known for their pizza. And so it's the same reference for you, in that don't be the, what is it's like, It's like Harry's Pasta Pizza and Subs. Don't be Harry's Pasta Pizza and Subs. Mm-hmm. I want you to be Harry's Pizza, and they know the pizza. And like my funny relevance for this is like, man, Subway. Subway is a sub shop, right? You know what Subway serves. You know what I get at Subway? The salad every time, because they've got a great salad, but they're a sub shop. And the same for your music, man. If you're, you know, you should be able to be follow the train of recommended. If you like Taylor Swift, you can be making $250,000 a year on that association. Just getting people, like if you get up to that level, I'm not saying that you are Taylor Swift, but man, having that association just makes the looping back to the beginning. It makes them more likely to answer the phone on your music. Mm-hmm. And so use that. Don't run away from it, please. Mm-hmm.
Super smart. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's something that we teach a lot, you know, in terms of our campaigns and how they launch campaigns. It always includes some form of figuring out where do their fans congregate and then, you know, speaking directly to those people. And we've had the exact same experience that it's sort of like neuronal connections, right? Like we have existing pathways in our brains. And so like you want to be able to tap into the existing momentum, the existing pathways. And if you're trying to be somewhere completely different that they can't understand or relate to, it causes them to like have to be confused or stretch outside of like just to understand it, then it's much more difficult to actually cut through the noise. And so 100%, yeah, just absolutely. Focusing on, and I like the way that you put it too, like you recommended if you like, not saying that you are Taylor Swift or this different artist, but you know, if you like them, then you might, they might like their music too. Awesome.
Absolutely. And I mean, and credit to you, Michael, I watched one of the modern musician things you talked about. It's your, oh my gosh, it's escaping me. I was just thinking about it. Virtual tour hacking thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's the same idea. I know you guys are along those same lines. So I know this concept probably isn't new to you checking this out, but at the same time, it's please don't run away from being associated with somebody like that, because that doesn't make you any less unique. It just helps you find the people who might check out your music so that they'll answer the phone and you're not a spam call. So
awesome. Love it. It's something that I've found through doing a lot of these podcasts. I know you've found this too through, you know, Success Leaves Clues and Patterns, but you know, the truth is the truth. And there's a lot of different perspectives or ways to kind of like patterns, ways to recognize it or interpret it or speak through it. So I always appreciate hearing, especially when it's something that's like, you know, I have a, you know, my map has like a certain way of looking at it. And then I can see, oh, that's interesting. Like this, there's another map that we're pointing to the same thing and we say it in like similar ways, but it's super valuable to be able to have that reflection and have it spoken to.
People need to hear it. And I know this from being an educator, right? People need to hear it 5 or 6 different times. I tell stories a lot because I can tell you the concept. Like I can give you the bullet point version of this, but it's much more relatable when it's a story. It's much more relatable. And some people want the stories. Some people want the bullets. Some people want it written. Some people want to hear it. And so it's just, so, I mean, I share that because like after watching your session the other day, Michael, it was like, well, I know that you guys are already familiar with this concept, but let me tell you about the pizza, pasta and sub shop. And maybe that'll be a reference that helps too. So
super helpful.
All right. So number one, use recommended if you like artist references, because they will answer the phone.
Awesome.
Number two, post your shows on Bands in Town and Songkick. This is one in promoting this. And I know you guys, what's funny is some of these things, I thought about these things. And for a second I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't share these things because these people will already know it. But you know what? I want to share it because it's helpful information. So here's the thing that in setting up the radio show and the festivals, and I was a booker for a while, and the Whammies now, and all the stuff that I did with music, there are two places that the whole rest of the internet gets their show information from. And it's Bands in Town and Songkick. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, your shows show up on Spotify because you go into Songkick and you put in the show information. Bands in Town has a whole different side of the internet. And so from those two main sources, there are others. Obviously, you can create a Facebook event. There's other ways to do this. But Bands in Town and Songkick gets you more than 80% of the rest of the internet on where they pull their show information. Mm-hmm. It's from one of those two sources. So make sure every one of your shows that you want people to be able to find, post them on those two sources.
Awesome.
Is that, do you do that already? Have you, is this already part of the,
We had the CEO of Bands in Town on the podcast at one point, Fabrice. And so, I mean, we've talked a little bit about that, but no, I think that's definitely useful information. Songkick plus Bands in Town, and just making sure that, yeah, that you're are focused on those two spots. And you talk about leverage and about, you know, focusing your time. If you just focus on those two spots, then you can have over 80% of, probably more than 80%, probably like 99%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, totally. And not to mention both of them are, some people actually use, I run in some circles, like I actually am an avid, I go on the Rock Boat every year. If you're familiar with the Rock Boat is basically a music festival on a cruise ship. It's kind of wild.
Wow.
It's so much fun. It is so much fun. And like, you know, instead of sleeping in a tent in a field somewhere for some of these other ones, it's a cruise ship. So it's all inclusive, all my drinks, all my food. There's a clean bathroom. I sleep in a bed every night. It's amazing. Like I am spoiled when it comes to music festivals. And a lot of people on that boat use Bands in Town. So if you're coming into town on tour, there's people that are finding out about your show that you had no idea because they just follow the artist and then Bands in Town alerts them separately. So they're standalone things, but they also, the data gets pulled by Spotify and pulled by Google and pulled by all the other sources. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, keep them coming. I want to hear the other three.
Number three. Snooze your emails. Michael, do you snooze your emails in Gmail? Have you ever done that?
I was, when you talked about getting to email inbox zero, I was hesitant to even bring this up because I felt like, oh man, email, I mean, my relationship with my email is like, I don't have a relationship with it. Like I basically like set up like a boundary to it. And so it's pretty like, I just don't use it. So like I have tens of thousands of emails in the inbox and, you know, we have like an amazing team and we have folks who will make sure that something doesn't slip through the cracks, but there's a piece of me that's like, I know that there's a whole level of mastery to my emails that I'm just not even touching.
So I teach email inbox to zero training. And for artists, the reason this is specific is like, I don't want to talk about email inbox to zero. Everybody has your own relationship with your email. And I totally get that. Like just because you have emails in your inbox doesn't make you a failure. Inbox zero is not the equivalent of getting an A for email. But at the same time, being on top of your email is important because that is your business, right? Your business relationship as a booker, setting up these festivals. Let me tell you, working with musicians is like herding cats. It is awful sometimes because they don't get back to you. You have to ask them three times for the show posters and the information you need and the bio and the whatever else. I wanted them to come on my radio show and it was like pulling teeth trying to get them to send me photos so that I can promote them. Like, come on, guys. So email is important from a business angle. And snoozing is, here's the powerhouse, right? So snooze. In your email, if you go in your Gmail right now, there is a button at the top. You can either check the box or if you're on the desktop, it's on the right side. It looks like a little clock. If you're on the app, on the Gmail app on your phone, you can swipe one direction and it's snooze, or it's one of the little options. If you hit the three dots, it's snooze. And when you snooze an email, it disappears. But it doesn't disappear. It's just archived. So it's not in your inbox anymore. But at the date and time that you snooze it to, it will come back. So here's the two ways that this is helpful for you as an artist. First, if you want a gig and you're following up with a booker, it's on you to remember to follow up with the booker. And most musicians don't have a good system for remembering to follow up with the booker. It's basically like I'm going to remember that on Thursday and it's Monday and there's no way you're going to. So you forget until Saturday and then they're out on Saturday. So now what do you do? Like that's what happens. So snoozing is your superpower because if you snooze that email to Thursday at 8 a.m., then Thursday at 8 a.m., it's going to reappear at the very top of your inbox. And all you got to do is hit reply and say, hey, just wanted to circle back with you on this. And this is your superpower way to remember to follow up with some of these business opportunities. Like, man, so powerful. So snoozing your emails is going to be awesome for you. It's going to be awesome for the people you work with. Like if the venue says, hey, and 2 weeks before, you know, they're going to do this for you. Or here's my favorite one. we got booked for a show one time, and it was like 4 months in advance. And they said, hey, if you follow up, you know, 6 weeks before, we'll do some social media promo for you. Well, it's on you to remember to follow up 6 weeks before. So you know what I did? I snoozed the email to 6 weeks before. And at exactly 6 weeks, I sent them the image that I wanted and whatever the promo was so that they would start promoting for me. But it was on me to remember that. And that's your snooze. So man, if you're not already snoozing, there's little YouTube videos. It's such a simple thing. But this little tool is going to be so valuable for you with everything you got going on.
Super smart. Yeah. What that reminds me of is, no pun intended, what it reminds me of is how valuable just that concept of setting reminders and, you know, and quote unquote, like, you know, snoozing your emails and then also just like things in general, you know, like it does feel like it's really important to have a clean space, you know, in the present moment to, you know, to be able to be, yeah, to be here and be present. But in order to do that, like, we need a way to do jujitsu on the idea of the things that are coming up right now. So we don't have to process, kind of hold on to 20 different things, but we can actually just kind of like cast it to the right point of time where you actually can be actionable with it. Awesome.
Yep. So snoozing emails, number three, definitely, guys, yeah, master that skill. And it's going to take you 2 minutes to master that skill. That's how easy this is. But oh my gosh, it's going to be one of your superpowers. Everybody that I've taught snoozing emails to snoozes the heck out of their emails now because it's so valuable. So please do check that one out.
Awesome.
Number four, schedule your social media posts once a week or schedule them in advance. And this comes from the value of your time. Right. I feel like a lot of people get lost. And I know you guys teach about how social media platforms aren't your fans. You don't own them. Facebook owns them. Instagram owns them. Like, so you spend so much time on social media and the return is maybe you might get something good out of it. And you guys have a great system for helping people get more out of it, especially musicians. But ultimately, it belongs to Instagram. If you lose that account, you get locked out of that account. All those people, they're gone. So scheduling your social media posts, sitting down, and I would tell you to, my recommendation would be batch your social media planning once a week. Every platform will allow you to schedule your posts. So schedule them once a week and think about, for the people that are following you, two things. How do you make it different? In terms of, you don't want to post the same thing. Here's me having breakfast. Here's me having lunch. Here's me thinking about this deep thought in the afternoon. And then if you actually go back and look at the week, if you did it that way, be like, my God, I just did a lot of the same thing. So by thinking about it in a week at a time, you know that you can say something profound on this day. It can be new music on this day. It can be a show update on this day. And so your channel is going to be interesting, different information. So by planning it in advance, that's helpful. And here's the other thing. It's what's in it for me. The WIFM is a sales tactic that I learned from my years in sales. And the what's in it for me, for the people following your social media, is please answer that in every one of your posts, right? So here's some examples. You got a show coming up. Well, yes, they like you. And yes, they might want to see your show, but tell them something interesting they don't know. Here's my favorite drink at this venue from their menu. I absolutely love it. Oh my God, they have muffins at the 930 Club, the cupcakes at the 930 Club. If you've ever been, you know what I'm talking about. And man, freaking drool. So instead of just saying 930 Club, this week's 930 Club thing can be about the cupcake. And then, so what's in it for them? Why should they check it out? Or new song notifications. It's the recommended if you like. Hey, I got a new song that just dropped. If you like Taylor Swift, or I got to stop using her because I don't like Taylor Swift. I got to come over to different. Usher.
What?
He's doing the Super Bowl. Usher is my guy,
okay,
man.
All right. Burn.
If you like Usher, you're going to love this jam or something like that. And remember, don't worry about you're the pizza spot. Don't worry about being pizza, pasta, whatever. Say Usher. Tell them you like it. And then the next week you can say, you're going to love this jam if it sounds like insert other R&B artist that's similar or something. But what's in it for them? The reason why they should check it out is really really helpful to think about it, because ultimately everybody's on social media for themselves and you're entertaining them, but what's in it for them? Huh. Schedule your posts once a week and think about what's in it for them. That's number four.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, that's just a valuable life skill in general, just like approaching every relationship and thinking about what's in it for them and what can I provide that's valuable to them. Zig Ziglar said something like, you can get anything you want if you help other people get what they want. And it certainly seems like there's like universal truth to that. What's in it for them? Awesome.
Yeah. And then number five, live like you're worth the value of your time. It's a tagline from my TED talk, but here's how you can try it and you could do it. I'm a coach as well. I'm a productivity coach and I coach, corporate folks. They bring me in to teach their people and something. And so one of the drills and one of the tactics that we do is that pull up your calendar and show me your calendar. And let's look at how you're spending your time. And then based on how you're spending your time, I can determine what's actually really important to you. And so what's interesting is the corporate, I got to translate this to corporate, right? Normally the corporate mission is to make more sales and do more something. And then when I look at the person's calendar, are they spending, because we know the value of their time, right? Are they spending a proportionately more amount of their time on that thing, on that particular mission or strategy or something? So for you as a musician, if you want to write music, or if you're trying to build fans, or if you're trying to do something, and we look at your week, are you actually really spending your time in the areas that will help that? And if you look at your calendar, how does it look? If I go in your phone, here's a spoiler alert. If you go in your phone, it actually lets you pick. You can look in your history and find out how much time you spent on Instagram and how much time you spent on TikTok and how much time you spent on. And so unless you're actually engaging with fans, if that was the mindless scrolling thing that people do, then you're spending your time. And if you're spending more time scrolling than you are creating music, and that's your number one thing, then maybe there's some juggling that should happen. So live like you're worth the value of your time is just a helpful way to look at that.
Awesome. Yeah, it definitely seems like there's some magic to the calendar and scheduling stuff on the calendar. I know for me, something becomes real when I actually put it on my calendar. And, nice. I have ideas or talk about something. But it's you get on the calendar, then you actually have that carved out. And I think it's related to what you're describing with, actually using your time intentionally and you're putting things in your calendar. Cool. And great reminder as well in terms of for a lot of us, we feel like we don't have enough time. We're like, oh man, how am I going to have more time to do X, Y, Z? But then if you look at your screen time, it's like, oh, wow, I spend an hour a day or 2 hours a day on social media. And, oh, I spend a couple hours a day watching TV. There you go. You get 3 or 4 hours back, just from that.
Right?
Yeah, really powerful. All right. Well, Brian, man, this has been awesome. Yeah, I love this topic. I think you focusing on how you can leverage your time, no pun intended. I don't know if there's a pun in there, but spending time to to get time back is one of the best investments of time that you can have. It's about creating leverage, sharpening the saw. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And for anyone here right now who's resonating with this, is interested in getting more clarity on how they can better utilize their time for themselves and for their music, so they can be able to make a bigger impact with their music and build more success, what would be the best place for them to go to dive deeper?
For the learning stuff, everything is at Productivity Gladiator. So that's the name, that's the brand, that's the trademark, that's the everything. So you'll find it on whatever platform you're on. It's so funny because we just talked about not scrolling, but we're all in the business of trying to find people and connect with people. So yeah, I'm on those social media platforms so that I can continue to add and deliver value that way. So I've got all kinds of stuff that I post there. So if you're interested in the learning, it's at Productivity Gladiator. If you're interested in the personal stuff, it's at Brian Nelson Palmer. And I'd love to connect with all you guys. And also, I had a thought and it was like, oh, I wanted to make sure. Oh, here's one. If you're a reader, I'm a big reader, and let's connect on Goodreads. There's a random one for you. If you haven't ever used the Goodreads app, it's a way to keep track of all the books you want to read or have read or all that stuff. And it also allows the best book recommendations I've got have been from people I've connected with on Goodreads and found this stuff. So I read, you know, last year, I think I read 61 books. I'm just a voracious reader. Like, I love it. And so that is, if you want to be connect on Goodreads because you're on there, I certainly, man, do a lot of reading too, but all the socials and stuff. So you can find me on there. I've got a podcast where I'm delivering a lot of these little lessons. I try to package all of them up into a little knowledge nugget. And each podcast is a very actionable thing that will help you with something. So put that out there. That's the stuff. And then of course I do have the Productivity Gladiator training. So if it really resonates with you, I teach the corporate folks how to do this, but because I spent so much time in the music business, like it, all of this, I lived it. I continue to live it with the music. I'm still involved in the whammies. I still am. And so all of these productivity skills are directly relevant to being a musician and working in that too. So I do have that training as well, of course. And so I'm basically, it's one of those, however I can help, I would love to help you. So reach out to me. I'm happy to connect.
Awesome. Thanks, man. And it's funny you mentioned the whammies. We have several team members and several clients who've mentioned that they are submitting for the whammies and have said, like, yes. Hey, like, I'd love you to vote for me. So it's a small world.
Can I tell you one cool thing that, so I'm the guy behind the whammies in that I brought the process and the way that you win the awards and the whole, I partnered with the Musicianship as a nonprofit in DC that does it. And I brought the idea to Jeff Tribble, who's was the CEO at the time when we started this back in 2017. We were talking about pizza earlier. We had a meeting over pizza, and I was like, Jeff, I want music awards in DC. Like, how I have the idea, I can do this. Let's partner up together. And so I did it with them. And so I volunteer to do this every year. This is one of my passion projects where I give back this way. But the way that you, one of the things that I'm proud of and that many people don't know about the whammies is that the way that you win a whammy is a two-step process. First, you get nominated and that gets you on the ballot. And the public votes for the top seven in each category. So in each year, there will be 50-something best pop songs that get submitted. And by public vote, it gets narrowed down to seven. And then from those seven industry judges from the DC music scene, right? So the producers, the radio hosts, the people with the news, the writers for the paper, all those people are judges and they go on the platform and they judge each one of those finalists individually to consider them. And so then based on all of the judges' scores determines the winner, and the winner's revealed at this, you know, big red carpet event. And the event's just like the Grammys, right? You got red carpet, you got, you know, performances. Here's the best pop song. They give a speech. Here's the, you know, now here's a performance by this artist. And so it's a very cool, if you're ever in DC in April, that's when it happens every year. But the process to win it, what I love about it is that it's not just a popularity contest. It's not who texted all their friends and got them to vote for them for this thing. It's actually the music business also helping, the industry helps decide the winner, and both components play a part. And so that's the part that I like for me personally is, you know, a radio show and stuff. I know that people will go online and I have some of the artists that have texted me and everyone in their phone to say, please, here's the website. Please go on. Please vote for me. And the award doesn't go to the person who texts the most people. It goes to the one that the music industry thinks too. And so that's one cool thing that DC does now that I really like as a music person is like, man, I live in Tampa now, and Tampa doesn't have the Tammys. There's no Tammys down here for Tampa. It's the whammies in DC are the thing. But that's, I love that DC has that way. That's not just a popularity contest. Like, it's actually got to be good, and the music business agrees too. And I personally, I like that. I'm proud of the fact that it turned out that way, and that's how you win.
That is cool. Yeah, I mean, what comes to mind is the system for Rotten Tomatoes, how it works. I have like the critic score and the audience score. And
right.
It's really nice having both of those. So you can, when they come together, that's you get a better scope for the actual end product versus just like one or the other.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Brian, thank you again for being a part of this. It was a really fun conversation. I would totally recommend anyone who's listening right now who wants to go deeper into this world of really maximizing their time to go check out the resources. We'll put all the links in the show notes. And yeah, until next time. Yeah! Hey, it's Michael here. I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Make sure to check out the show notes to learn more about our guest today. And if you want to support the podcast, then there's a few ways to help us grow. First, if you hit subscribe, then that'll make sure you don't miss a new episode. Secondly, if you share it with your friends or on your social media and tag us, that really helps us out. And third, best of all, if you leave us an honest review, it's going to help us reach more musicians like you who want to take their music careers to the next level. The time to be a modern musician is now, and I look forward to seeing you on our next episode.